Okay. This microphone is like paper clips. You lay it down, it gets all tangled up. It's one of those mysteries of the universe things. I gotta grab my coffee. Hold on a second. Kind of hard to talk without my coffee. Entree. Okay. A little disarrayed this morning, what can I say? You just can't make that stuff up, right? Okay, I got a phone call from David, Wednesday or Thursday, I think it was, and his text message says, if he's listening online there, is that he said, I can barely put two sentences together because I'm out of breath. Will you do less? And I said, not a problem. So the next thing is, what am I going to talk about? There's so much to talk about, and I need to do more studying. Okay, so this is what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the concepts of thoughts concerning the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude. Solitude. So one of the first things when you have gone through this several different references to this concept, looking at silence and solitude, is more of what is an example to us. And so, get your Bible out. Luke 5, 15 through 16. Luke 5, 15 through 16. Someone read that for me. Luke 5, 15 through 16.
15 and 16 from the NASB. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray.
There you go. And we'll see this kind of example throughout this lesson here. So, if you're looking at solitude, what comes to mind? The guy on the top of the hill, the mountain, in a cave, little shroud, you know, kind of thing, thinking about all the mysteries of life. Is that what you think of solitude?
I feel like it's like something by itself.
Right. Something by itself. Uh-huh.
Because it's like, it would be like sitting in the valley in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Just
okay. Yeah. That can be that.
I think of my house, it's very peaceful and quiet.
Exactly. So, some of the characteristics that people might associate with solitude, but not exclusively, are things like physical isolation, not necessarily, stillness, quiet, and social disengagement. A guy named Philip Knock did that one. Another one is a person says, that I was reading about, solitude is more of a state of mind and heart, and it is a creation of one's own world, like the meadow. And the other one was the intentional withdrawal from social engagement. I like that real well, because do we have a lot of social engagement these days? smartphone. All the things with smartphones, all the notifications, all the phone calls, advertisements, on and on and on. Sports notes too, by the way. You didn't think I knew that, huh? There you go. Yeah, that might be a clue. Anyway, and then lots of times people will equate or try to link together solitude with the concept of silence. Would you agree with that? Yeah. So, is it exclusively with solitude? It can or cannot be. It certainly makes it easier. Makes solitude a lot easier. This is, like I said, these are thoughts concerning silence and solitude, because as I was going through the study yesterday and trying to put together some semblance of order when I'm talking about this, there's a lot of people who talk about it. And oftentimes they say it's not necessary to have silence, but it sure does make it easier. Because the part I like about it, especially in our busy, busy, busy world that we live in, is the social disengagement. Get away from all that kind of stuff. And what is that social engagement? What do you say? We already talked about the smartphone. What else? What's that? Yeah, could get together with somebody, yeah. What else? I just heard a ding.
I usually think of some kind of interaction with another human being.
Right. Mm-hmm. Interaction with somebody, yeah. Party. What's that?
Party.
Party, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. The thing I liked about it was that this is the definition I got. The absence of all human created stimuli. I thought that pretty much sets it, okay. One ceases the consumption of any human-created input, audible or written. That's what they did. So I thought that was pretty good. So anyway, when you look at that, it's not that. And the thing I got out of the study of all this is that lots of times people, there are some misconceptions about solitude. And we'll get to those in a little bit. But one of the things that I came across I thought was real interesting, I hadn't really thought about it until then, but it makes a whole lot of sense, is that solitude and silence, if you want silence with your solitude, is really connected to or very synonymous with the idea of sleep. Kind of makes sense. What is going on with you when you are sleeping? Yeah, exactly. Body's resting, everything's resting. The whole idea is the crazy little world that's swirling around, it's gone because they're sleeping, right? So, and in that, one of the things that they talk about in the sleeping world, sleep and research like that, is this thing called rapid eye movement sleep or REM sleep, which is the last stage, by the way. And there are benefits of REM sleep to the point where, hey, thank you. Absolutely. Is that it, for one thing, when you're in REM sleep, people realize this or not, but your body is kind of like paralyzed. It just lays out. It's not going to do a whole lot, okay? It does that on purpose, so the deepest part of the thing starts regenerating, recovering, recharge, rest, all those things that are related to our sleep habits, which are rapid eye movement. Other things they have found out with REM sleep, why sleep is so important, And he equates it, that's like sleep, because solitude is necessary also with this, is that during REM sleep, you improve learning. Because what happens is, a little biology lesson here, what's happening is called synaptic pruning. And synapse is the gap in between a lot of your nerve cells, but that's where they communicate. It's in the synapse, okay? That's the communication part. And if you have too many of them and none of them are working all that well, it starts pruning itself. Kind of like pruning a rose bush. You prune away the things that aren't, you know, that kind of thing. So it improves memory and all that stuff. It also helps with mood regulation, okay? Because it's processing like that. Brain development, if you're a kid. That's why kids sleep so much when they're born. The REM sleep's helping. And it's also a protection against dementia, which I need. So. But basically what it's boiling down to is they'll say that REM sleep is necessary for the body to operate properly. Okay? Yes?
I like the idea that Jesus went into solitude to pray and to listen. In other words, he was in a quiet spot, no noise around him. Mm-hmm. And it was just him and the Father communicating, mm-hmm. which that's almost impossible at my house. But, you know, there are places that we can go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get to that part in a little bit. Okay. So, if you're looking at this in parallel, solitude versus sleep, and by the way, each cycle of sleep runs about 90 minutes. So you'll have like four or five. Well, you may have one or two, but like me, several. So can you imagine that your brain is going crazy all day long because you got this to do, that to do, got this to do, that to do. People are calling you, people are doing, you know, just constant go in our world, constant go in the world. Finally, you needed time to chill out, just like the scripture read where Jesus shows this example over and over and over again, that he was doing all this work, but after a while he said, man, I got to get out of here. You know, I need some recharge time. So he goes and talks to God, recharge. So it's a recharge in what we do. And I think that's important to keep that in mind, that solitude is needed by all, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. By the way, introverts probably need it more than extroverts, but yeah, they all need it. Because at some point you need that solitude, you need that time to recharge a little bit. Okay? Because you can blow and go and blow and go, but at a certain point you're going to get exhausted. You just will. Okay. So, what do you think solitude is now?
Rest.
What is solitude?
Rest.
What?
Rest, regrouping.
No more than that, but okay. I think that's some of the misconceptions. Solitude is sometimes equated with loneliness, being lonely, but it's not. It's a break, absolutely. Yeah. So, here are some things I found out in my study about the purpose of solitude. Go to Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35. This is another example for us to follow. Mark 1:35. Became a pattern, became something that was a priority to him. And the question for myself oftentimes, is it a priority for me? Of course, we already know the answer to that. Probably not as much as it should be. That's probably my honest answer. Because, you know, once again, and I'll belabor this a little bit more, but when you got smartphones, magazines, news, work stuff, radio, internet, on and on and on, you know, and you're trying to have that moment with God, is it easy to hear the whispers of God when all that's happening? No. Yeah. That's why it's a necessary thing. So, it's a priority. We should make it a priority. So I'm going to look up Luke 6, 12 through 13. Luke 6, 12 through 13. Keep going. So another part or purpose of solitude that can be very helpful, as we see in these two examples, is trying to have discernment and clarity in decision making. Trying to make a decision. Sometimes a hard decision. Sometimes you got something that's just overwhelming you. Okay. And the example they used in the book I thought was pretty good. If you take a jar, glass jar, put some dirt in, sand in it like that, and shake it up, the water's all cloudy. You sit down on the table, it calms down, now you can see through the water. Similar exactly to that. I thought that was a pretty good example. I almost thought about bringing my home. I'm going to bring a prop. But here's an example of Jesus when he is having to make very important decisions, maybe difficult decisions, and what does he do? He goes in solitude and prays to God. So I thought that was interesting too. So, you know, and the whole idea of, once again, going back to the pairing of solitude with sleep and all that kind of stuff, is that solitude is necessary. Not an option, is a necessary thing, as I read it, for clearing the mind. Get all that noise and all that stuff going on. One book I read was talking about having to deal with the cultural software, what they called it, which I thought was an interesting way of putting it. Cultural software, yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. And David and I didn't talk about what I was going to talk about, by the way. Interesting. So, making really hard decisions or things that are really weighing heavy on your mind and things like that, solitude's a good time to kind of clarify some stuff out and kind of let things, as they say, let the dust settle a little bit so you can see what's going on. So, we talked about the idea that it is for rest, good for the body. We also talked about that it is a priority. Number three I have on here is, this is my version of what they said, is getting away from the Joneses. It's my version of it, because they were talking in other words. I'm going, no, I like mine better. Or the rat race, basically. So this goes back to Mark 6:31, and it talks about, you know, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Once again, you know, the ceaseless, what they called in the, one of the books I went through, is in the ceaseless immersion in society can be exhausting and drains the health of the soul. When to say what to say, when to say, who not to say, who not to talk to, all that kind of stuff, you know. You know, and for some people it's very difficult, it's very draining, something like that. So, but also, when you're talking to people, they talk about this, they talk about what they're doing, you're doing, so you have to pony up yourself, you know, what you've been doing, anything like that. So that's why I call it getting away from the Joneses, is why I called it that. So we talk about challenges, we talk about decisions, we talked about getting away from the Joneses, which may cloud things we're doing. Another thing that solitude is helpful for is, first go to Matthew 11:28. Yeah, I like rest. Amen on that one, huh? And what was running through my head, I was reading all this stuff. You ever see those commercials about the Energizer Bunny? always going, yeah. And so, how many, this is rhetorical, or you can add if you want to, how many of you have a bazillion projects floating up in the air? I already knew you did. Yeah. And so I think the nice thing about solitude is, if we make time for it and all that stuff, that it gives us time to recover from challenges and recover and heal from all those decisions and those challengings like that. You know, and people who are in the people business know this, is that they can, it takes a lot of energy to be in the people business, you know, and at some point you're going to have to recover and heal and do like that, because you can hear a lot of stuff, and some of it sometimes you don't want to hear, but you hear it anyway. You know, and so, but also makes you grateful and blessed that you have the life you have too when you get into that world. But it's very similar to this idea of sleep or rest and all that kind of stuff, that sometimes we just need that time to recover from it, you know, whether it is big challenges or it's the busy of the world or, you know, the busy of family, because that is an issue, you know, those kind of things. And what comes to my mind, strange, I got strange associations in my head. What comes to mind is the mom who has 2 or 3 kids and then goes to the bathroom so she can have solitude. Yeah. You know I'm right, right? And the kids are at the door. Yeah. Anyway. But it's also, when you look at, because if you're in a spiritual war, that's also important, because you look at warfare and they, how they operate in warfare these days is that they leave people on the front lines just so long and they rotate them back out because they need the R&R. So they keep rotating around like that. Same thing with this. Kind of makes sense. So if we know all this is happening, and we know and we can say it's a wonderful thing, you know, and all that stuff. So now the question that is begged on this is, why don't we do it? If we know solitude is great for you, you know, makes me relax, gets me priorities, clarifies, like that. So the question now is, why don't I do it? You don't have to answer that. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of them. You just don't make time for it. Yeah. Yeah.
For me, wait a lot, so I need to get out of the isolation so I can be around others. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, as I've been talking to Max, nights and days, I don't even feel like putting them back in my bed.
Yeah.
Because of isolation and
you know, the interesting thing about isolation, which I think is, because we are social creatures, that's just who we are. The thing about isolation is, and solitude, and being around a community like that, it's kind of a two-edged sword, if you think about it. If you have too much isolation, you know, you get into lonely and because sometimes people will equate lonely with solitude, and it's not. Because solitude has a purpose. Lonely does not. Okay? But if you're around too many people for so long, maybe that's not so good either. So it's kind of a two-edged sword when you look at it that way. Okay? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. 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 Solo. There you go. Yeah. Just me. Just me and God. That's it. Yeah. Let me throw a couple things at you that they're talking about. If solitude is such a great thing, why are we not engaged in the spiritual discipline of solitude? One is, think about this one, is that we are uncomfortable with boredom.
Uncomfortable.
Boredom.
I'm never bored. I've never been a boredom moment in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but how many people you know who get used to the hustle and bustle or hustle and bustle of life and all that kind of stuff, and then when you say you need to calm down for a couple of minutes, about 30 seconds in, they're going to have a seizure on you because they can't settle down. Yeah. And that also goes with, when we talked about silence, when we talked about solitude, is getting away from this, it's the social disengagement that is helpful. But a lot of people, and I'm always watching people, by the way, not in a stalking way, but just watching people. People crack me up. I tell that to my students all the time. I say, you gotta watch people, they're a hoot. Have you seen somebody waiting in line at the store, Walmart, United, whatever, what are they doing? What?
They're on the cell phone.
Yeah. Kenny, how many times you watch them and all of a sudden they're engaged in that social media thing? So I thought that was, yeah, that so much. I see that a lot. I see that a lot in my classroom too. Yeah, that'll calm them down quite a bit. Because when they get into my classroom, the first thing they do is sit down, and the second thing they do is while they're waiting for me to get ready. It's crazy, yeah.
You know, the biggest difference I have seen is that when I was younger, I really enjoyed riding on an airplane because nearly every time you sit down, you can find somebody to visit with, and you have a really nice visit.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, people crack me up. So, you know, we look at that. So I think, given that example right there, people, and I've talked to colleagues of mine who are busy, busy, busy. They got two kids and this and that, and they're always talking about all the projects they do. But they always tell me they're tired. I'm going like, you have 100 projects, you got two kids, and you're always tired. What's the common denominator here? You know, you're always busy. Anyway, so I think that's one thing. And I think with our world the way it is, that lots of times we're just uncomfortable just sitting somewhere in solitude. And I think that's a big deal. Because some people, it's very, very uncomfortable to be quiet and sitting and not doing anything. Right. That's what I think, anyway. Other things that might get in the way of this spiritual discipline. The fear of facing ourselves without distraction. The fear of seeing yourself for real. I think that's a big one. I think that's one reason why people are so busy doing these things. Check, 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 check. Because, once again, you know, if I'm calm, then I start seeing myself, and sometimes I don't like what I see, so I got busy again. How many people have, not that everybody's out of this, how many people is buzzing around like that, and they sit still? They can't do it. So they get on the internet or on the phone. Or if they are being still and fear of facing ourselves without distraction, and all of a sudden all that stuff starts flooding in, all the stuff doing self-examination and all those kind of things that we do when we're still, and we go like, no, I think I'll work on this. Because I don't want to see all that. So that might be a reason why some people don't do solitude. It's because then you see yourself for real and you're going like, eh, I don't know if I like that or not. So things like, because you have to strip away all the protections and all the barriers and all the hedges and all that stuff when you do that kind of stuff. And so you have to look at our motivations. What's our motivations in life? What's really pushing us? What's driving us? What our compulsions are. Loneliness, our disappointments, you know, what's going on. One of the things I do when I'm teaching at the prison, when I'm talking about scheduling and time management and all that kind of stuff, with some of the inmates out there, I have them, at the very beginning of the semester, write down what their schedule is. Put it away for a while. I do some lessons. Then I come back to it, and I said, tell me what you do during the day. Because you will do what you think is valuable in your schedule if you do that. Once again.
How does all this relate to the idea of meditation? You know, we see read a lot about how psychologists are recommending people do meditation, which is kind of foreign to our heritage as far as
your I think meditation is, you know, like I said, a lot of psychology in it. There is one's called mindful meditation that people use. It kind of separates itself from a spiritual sense in itself because it's more mindful. But when they do PET scans and functional MRIs and all that, when people are meditating, what's happening in the brain, and compare it to what they look like when they're praying, they're almost identical. Because it's the whole idea is you're stripping away the things that are distractions to get to that point. I have had a GSR biofeedback machine at one time. And what it does, you put it on your fingers and it tells you when your mind's too busy in beta waves, when your mind's busy like that, and how to get it to alpha waves, which means relaxation like that. It's a lot harder than you think because you'll be going. And every time it starts squealing, that means you're thinking about something. You have to bring the squeal down to a click. And that's the whole idea, is training yourself to be in alpha waves. And I found that to be a lot more difficult than I thought, but it was also very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable, because you've taken everything out that's distracting you, which means this is the part when you go to, this is the part of your brain waves that are happening just before you go to sleep. You know, everything's stripped away before you go to bed. That's why when you're sleeping, you're going to go to sleep and you can't think of this thing. It's been bugging you all day long, you know. And just before you go to sleep, that's what it was. That's alpha wave, by the way.
So, you know, yeah. The way our lifestyles are anymore, you have to almost force yourself to have any meditation time.
Oh, yeah. Time absolutely. Yeah, the radio, TV, GPS. Yeah, podcast.
I used to say that when it was time for meditation.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. So, other people will say what may be a barrier is that in our society, oftentimes there are people who are, quote, experts, not really, but quote, experts, so I say them, is that solitude is a luxury and we have no time to indulge in that. Ever heard that one? Yeah. It's just, it's a luxury. We don't have time for that. I got things to do. Yeah. I don't need that stuff. If I have time, I remember one time I was working at state school and was talking to this, while I was still in graduate school, and I was talking to this supervisor buzzing around the campus like that. She was obviously stressed out. I mean, you could see it in her face and her walk and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I told her one time, I said, what do you do for relaxation? And her comment was, I don't have time for that. So, okay, now I see the problem. Anyway, so what do we do? We got 4 or 5 minutes. So what do you do for the solitude thing? You know, the idea that it's a luxury is really what we call a cognitive or spiritual distortion. In other words, it's not true. It's the opposite. Okay. So, what do? Find that quiet place. Doesn't have to be on top of the mountain. Doesn't have to be a 2-week jaunt through Montana in the summertime. Not the weather time. Summertime. Yeah. What's that? Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, just pick a place. Pick a place, a small part of the world you can disengage from. You know, whether it's tractoring, used to be tractoring. Okay. But, you know, coffee shop, library, front porch, in your car before work, after work, lunchtime, park, etc. There's lots of different places out there. Turn off all input, especially phone. Schedule some time. Making time for it, make it golden. Some people say, well, I just don't have time in my busy schedule. Okay, get up early. Do it. Or do it before you go to bed. So, on one end or the other end, like that. Go for a daily walk. Do it then. Or find a prayer closet. Do it then. So, lots of different examples out there. What do y'all do for solitude time? Disengagement time.
In the mornings.
I get up. Yeah, got to have the coffee.
Yeah. Phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then open up my shade to see the beauty of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. In the summertime, not so much in the wintertime because I don't like cold weather, is I'll get my coffee or my green tea, which one I'm drinking at the time, and I go on the front porch and just pull it all in, meditate, talk to God a little bit, things like that. So if you're in solitude, and you're in solitude, what all do y'all do? I mean, once again, just kind of a clarification thing. If you're in solitude, what do you do?
Pray.
Pray, yeah. Yeah. Connect with God, yeah. Pray, yeah. What else? Anybody else do anything else?
Just relax.
What's that?
Just relax.
Just relax. Slow down.
Breathe deep. And
just don't slow down and say, I'm slowing down because I got this and this. That doesn't work too well. So, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just going deep. Yeah. Yeah. So. You're wasting. You're lazy. You're wasting time. Exactly.
I think some people.
That is a big part of this. Yeah.
I think today's society worships busyness. You know, like I'm important because I'm like you're the woman. I'm busy.
Yeah.
So maybe a sense of self. Yeah.
See the forest because of the trees, kind of thing. Yeah, I've seen several people like that. Yeah, and so, especially when I look in the mirror, when I do that one. So it just as a follow-up and to tie this all together, because there's a lot more you can say about solitude and silence and all that, is that, number one, solitude is necessary. It's required, almost. I mean, if you look at Jesus' example, time after time after time, he got away and then came back. He got away and came back. So I think it's a necessary thing. And if you need to equate it to something, it's kind of like sleep. You got to have some sleep. What happens to people when they don't get any sleep? Yeah. All these things happen. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So my challenge to you and to me is find some time for solitude to give yourself some rest. Okay. And remember, solitude has a purpose. It's not just sitting there. There is a purpose of what you're doing. Okay. Even if you're walking, it's still solitude. If you're one of those busy kind of people and you got to be moving, it can still be solitude as long as you're disengaged from the rest of the stuff. Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I can't just sit.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm sorry.
I'm eating breakfast and I'm walking around the house. Drives Janine nuts. But that's how I do breakfast.
Well, yeah. I stand up when I
do.
Breakfast.
I do. I'm standing up and I'm eating. And I'm walking around checking this, checking that, checking this, checking that. Do I have everything in my bag? And yeah. I get it. Okay. Anyone got his last word? On social media. Okay. Like I said, people crack me up.